You are listening to Will Ferguson, the pastor of Temple Baptist Church in Canton, Illinois. This podcast contains one of my sermons that was preached at Temple that pertains to the Christian life and living. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9 through 16. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. But the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek that the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. I have three sacrifices here that God's asking us to make, that God would like for us to make. And by the way, sacrifice, that is the essence of worship. When we offer a sacrifice unto God, that is what worship is all about. We're giving to God something of ourselves. Okay, so the three in this text we're going to look at. But actually, there is one sacrifice we need to mention before we get to the three. Because the one sacrifice is the one where all three are based on that sacrifice. And it is the sacrifice of Jesus. It talks about Jesus being sacrificed. It says here, verse 9, it says, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. In the Old Testament, when people would give their offering and sacrifice, the priest had a part in that sacrifice. They could take the meat for themselves and they can eat it. Okay. Somebody who had a dietary eating of the sacrifices that made them, in the eyes of people, that made them look kind of spiritual. What you ate made you more spiritual, like you were more devoted to God. You had this strict dietary restrictions and all that stuff. You definitely don't eat pork, catfish, bats, or eat cockroaches. Those are unclean, right? And not like we're tempted to do that. So anyway, he talks about what he's saying is these traditions, all these things that the Jewish people were relying upon to be pleasing to God. He says, don't let your heart be strengthened by that. But rather let your heart be strengthened by the grace of God. The grace of God means that we are depending upon the righteous work of Jesus for our acceptance with God. But grace means that God's riches at Christ's expense. So that here I am, I'm standing, my approach to God, I come to him in the name of Jesus Christ because God has made me acceptable to be able to approach his throne. Not because I've done X, Y, and Z, but simply because of Jesus. And that's what he's saying. And that's what he's pointing out. He's saying that your acceptance, your heart will be strengthened by that grace. Your confidence is strengthened by that grace. So this morning as we worship, you may feel like a worm. You may feel like you've done something this week. You feel horrible. But we look to Jesus and our dependence is upon him. He has made us accepted in Christ. Christ, his sacrifice in the book of Hebrews, it talks about he died once and for all. His sacrifice was the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. You know, the Jewish system, you had to sacrifice so many bulls to open the temple. And to close the temple, you had to sacrifice so many bulls every single day. And you had to sacrifice bulls and goats to cleanse the priest. And you had to sacrifice so many bulls and to cleanse the laver and to cleanse all the parts in the temple. There's always sacrifices going on, always blood being spilled. But Jesus died on the cross one time, and it's done. Now, if you ever wonder why we don't sacrifice sheep here? Well, it's because Jesus died. It's done. There's no more sacrifice. It's done. So really, we have to ask the question, what's left for us to do? Well, we're going to look at the three things that are left for us to do. There are sacrifices the Christians can make. Now, we could go to Romans chapter 12, but we're not going there. We're going to hear, we're looking at the three things he's telling us that we can contribute, that we can give. We can't earn our salvation, but there's some things we can do because we're saved that we can sacrifice to God. So let's look at the first one. We sacrifice our social standing. Look what he says here. It says in verse 13, therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. The first thing is, we've got to go out where Jesus went. He went outside the camp. He was ridiculed. He was not an insider. He was cast away and rejected as an outsider. If you are a Christian, if you love Jesus, there are going to come times in your life where people aren't going to like you because you're a Christian. And what he's telling us is to go to Jesus and bear that reproach. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't dismiss the reproach. God here is telling us we need to be ready to accept that, that people may make fun of us and may ridicule us because of our relationship with Jesus. There's a term back in the day, I think in the 70s, people call people, well, you're just a Jesus freak. And he's telling you people, don't worry about being called a Jesus freak. And there's a song I'm going to share with you. I'm going to read the lyrics to this song. There's a group called Newsboys, and they wrote this song years ago. It's kind of a heavy song. It's kind of got, and they sing it, I think, every time. If they're at a concert, you'll hear them sing it. It's pretty heavy, but I want to read the words to this because I like it. I like the words. Starts off, it says, separated, I cut myself clean from a past that comes back in my darkest of dreams. Been apprehended by a spiritual force and a grace that replaced all the me I divorced. I saw a man with a tat on his big fat belly. It's going to be funny. It wiggled around like marmalade jelly. It took me a while to catch what it said because I had to match the rhythm of his belly with my head. Jesus saves is what it raved in a typical tattooed green. He stood on a box in the middle of the city, and he claimed he had a dream. What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find that it's true? I don't really care if they label me a Jesus freak. There ain't no disguising the truth. There ain't no disguising the truth. Kamikaze, my death is gain. I've been marked by my master, a peculiar display. The high and lofty, they see me as weak, but I won't live and die for the power they seek. There was a man from the desert with naps in his head. The sand that he walked was also his bed. The words that he spoke make the people assume there wasn't too much left in the upper room. With skins on his back and hair on his face, they thought he was strange from the locusts he ate. All the Pharisees tripped when they heard him speak, until the king took the head of this Jesus freak. What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find that it's true? I don't really care if they label me a Jesus freak. There ain't no disguising the truth. There ain't no disguising. People say I'm strange. Does it make me a stranger that my best friend was born in a manger? What will people think? What will people think going to the song? So you get the idea that Jesus freak, he openly embraces, well, I'll just be a Jesus freak. I don't care what they say about me. He embraces. And that's what the book of Hebrews, this writer of the book of Hebrews is telling us, embrace that. You're going to be an outsider. People are going to reject us for whatever reasons. But if they reject us for Christ, we're blessed. For the Jews, they would be excommunicated from the Jewish community. And they still are today. So they would hear that they embraced this Jesus of Nazareth, and they'd have a funeral for them. They'd say, he is dead to us. We do not want to have this person in our lives anymore. So we are to courageously embrace Jesus, take on his reproach. Jesus said in Luke 9:26, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in all his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Jesus said in Luke 6:22, blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so the fathers did the prophets. Jesus is telling us, it's a good thing when people begin to ridicule you and say, oh, there's that Jesus freak, or there's that Christian, there's that person, it's a good thing. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about the ridicule. Do not let the ridicule discourage you from following Christ. And I think every Christian has that threshold in their life where they have to come out of the closet and people find out, oh, he is one of them. Sometimes we can hide. I remember in high school, when I was in junior high and high school, I had this double life. I had the life where I went to school and didn't talk about Jesus with my friends, but I went to church. And when I was at church, all things were great. You know, woohoo. I mean, I loved the Lord. I read scripture, but went to school. I was very afraid of my friends finding me out. When I got into on my own, when I was working for the railroad, I finally came to that point. I said, I don't care. I'm just going to live openly for Jesus. I was able to lead people to Christ, all these things. But there was a moment when I made that decision. I am no longer going to stay in the town and be popular. I am going out to Jesus where he suffers the ridicule. And I don't know where you are this morning. I know that this is a challenge for many people. But this scripture tells us is to go out to him. Don't worry about your reputation. They might think you're one of those. And I still have that struggle sometimes. When you're in a group, a family or something, or friends or someplace, you're in a group and you just feel the Spirit nudging you to pray, right? And they're talking about an issue and you say, oh, this is kind of not a good place. They're kind of, well, and usually the fear is they don't want to think me as a Jesus freak, some weirdo. Well, let them think that. Doesn't matter. When you're standing before judgment, the judgment of God, and Jesus said, oh, you people thought you were a Jesus freak. They thought I was, you're going to be glad of that rather than being ashamed of it. So to go out to him, we must love him. There's a story of a child when I heard about who had cancer in the third grade. You probably heard of this. This child, his head was shaved because it was a brain type of cancer. Head was shaved. He was dreading coming back to school because of the shame and all because he had bald head and he came, and that wasn't popular at that time. And when he went to school, he found out all the other kids in class shaved their heads too. They bore his shame with them. You know, why did they do that? Why did the kids do that? They did that because they cared about their friend. They wanted to be in they love their friend. They wanted to share in that reproach and dishonor. Friends do that. They don't jump the fence and let everybody else ridicule. They'll stand in here and defend their honor. And so this is the point. We love Jesus. We love him and we go to him because we love him, and we'll bear his shame because we love him. And we love him because he sanctified us by his blood. He hung and suffered shame and death on the cross for us. So we love him that way. It tells us in verse 13, it says, for here we have no lasting city, but we seek the one to come. Remember, this is not our home. This isn't our permanent dwelling. We have a continuing city, a permanent home. We do not belong here. We belong to eternity. To forever. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 through 7, 15 through 7. Let me read that one. 1 John chapter 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15 through 17. First John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away along with its desires. Whoever does the will of God abides forever. So we are part of that new world. We're part of the new thing. And this thing is passing away. Don't worry about it. It's passing away. Can you imagine being being called down by somebody who's not going to be here forever. We hope and pray that they would repent and be a part of the kingdom that lasts forever. But we need to worry about the things that will last, not the things that are temporary. So we must consider this perspective, or we will be scoring for the wrong team. So the first thing we sacrifice is our social status in this world. We take on Christ's reproach, and we're not ashamed of it. Are you ashamed of Christ? So rather than, I'm getting ahead of myself. The second thing we sacrifice, let me come back to Hebrews. This is verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. The sacrifice of praise. It is a connection. It's connected to the priests who used to sacrifice blood all the time. They sacrificed sheep and lamb. So we don't have that anymore. So what do we have left? We praise in the place of that. The first point down, we have to have the first point down, though. We must be willing to suffer Jesus' reproach, because we will not praise him because we're afraid of being ashamed of him. So rather than being ashamed of Jesus, when we talk about praise, we're actually bragging about Jesus. Praise and thanks, the difference between praise and thanks. Praise focuses on the person. Thanks focuses on the action that person has done. So somebody's done something good for you, and when you say, oh, you're such a nice person, when you say you're nice, you're praising them. You're praising them. And it tells us here that the praises need to be offered up continually. Like I said, the animal sacrifices were offered up continually. So we had to offer up praise continually. Did you know that we are priests unto God? I'm going to take us to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. Chapter 2, verse 9 through 10. It says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You notice that? He says, you are priests to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Proclaim. We're going to proclaim. That's praise. We're proclaiming the excellencies of God's mercies. We're proclaiming it. We're shouting it. We're sharing it. We are priests. And our worship to God, our worship to God actually feeds our witness to God, for God. If we have no witness for God, what does that say about our worship to God? Worship should help our witness, and our witness should help our worship. If it's hard for us to praise God with our lips outwardly, it's going to be hard for us to praise God in front of and be a witness to other people. So we are the kind of priests that praise God. But it says the fruit of lips. Now it starts in our heart, doesn't it? We think about thoughts and blessing God in our hearts, but it needs to come out to our lips. We need to think about blessing God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We bless him with our heart, our soul, so that our lips may bless and praise him. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time you openly praised God? He says, I praise you, God, for your mercy. I love you, Lord, for who you are. To praise God. And it tells us we're to do that all the time, right? We're to do it continually. Baptists are kind of hard. I don't know, Baptists have a hard time with this. We can sing our songs. We can sing our songs of praise. And that's good. But we need to speak our words of praise to God. We need to love God with our mouth, with our minds, with our heart and our soul. Take time to speak out praise to God. Notice it talks about, he says it's the fruit of lips. The fruit of lips. Let me go down here. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. It is a fruit. Did you notice that? It's not a root. So what we say is something we have on the inside. The fruit must have a tree, and the tree must have a root, right? The root is the confession, our acknowledgement of who Jesus is. Jesus said in Matthew 12:35, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of the good treasure of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up and causes trouble, and by it many may be defiled. In our praise, we're either praising God or we're becoming bitter in our heart. And the bitterness that's in our heart defiles us, what the Bible says. Bitterness is what God's after. He's not after bitterness. He's after blessing. The blessing of our mouth, the fruit of our lips. He's after that. And that's a sacrifice he's looking for. James chapter 3, verse 9 through 12 tells us about a tongue, about the tongue. It's an untamable thing. And that some people they bless God and they worship God. They speak well of God with their tongue, but they curse men who are made in the image of God. He says, does salt water come out of a freshwater spring at the same time? He says, this didn't happen. My worship of God actually has an impact of how I speak well of other people. As I'm praising God, it impacts whether I praise people. I find personally, when I'm praising God and I'm giving thanks to God, I find it's easier for me to praise people and bless other people and thank them for things. But if I'm not giving thanks to God, if I'm not praising God, it's harder to be appreciative of even people. So my worship has an impact on how I treat other people. So it tells us to praise God continually. I believe that praise can transform our mind as we praise God. And the same thing, as I spend myself cursing things, pronouncing a curse on things, that also brings cursing in my mind. Be instant to praise God. Be instant. Lay it on thick. And in order to praise God like this, you can't worry about what other people think. It's a kind of religious weirdo. He's praising God. Praise the Lord. Or just to sit there and say, you know, isn't the Lord good? He's faithful to you. He's blessing you. He's in your life. He's present. Isn't he good? There's a saying in some of the Christian movies, you hear them saying, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. That's kind of a phrase of praising God among people, of saying his praise, declaring his praises. That's what we're called to praise God, not just at church, but anywhere and everywhere we go, to be those people. So isn't God good? So rather than being ashamed of Jesus, we boast about him wherever we go. And that's the kind of people. And as we're boasting about him wherever we go, that provides opportunities for witness. Now, there's going to be people that may be offended. Yes, that's right. That's okay. They'll be offended. But there's also going to be those who are going to be stirred by it. Now, we need to be genuine about it, because I've seen people who are very ingenuine. They're not very genuine about it. They will just say their religious thing. They're not very genuine. But be genuine as you worship God. Now, I encourage you to take time by yourself and have a fit of worshiping God. Have a praise rally by yourself. And I did this one time as well. I usually do it here, but a couple of winters ago, I went out to the park, went to Big Creek Park, and I had the headphones on. I was listening to some Christian music, and I started just shouting and praising God. didn't know there was people. I thought I was alone. And but they thought I was, I think I'm sure they thought I was crazy. But you know what? That's all right to be a Jesus freak and to worship God. The Bible teaches in the Psalms, it tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. There's a presentness that you can feel God's presence when people are praising him, full of praise and full of worship. And you can go, you can walk into a place where people have that praise and worship of God. You can feel the grace, you can feel the love. But I've been in places where people, well, we're not going to praise God. We're going to be bitter about everything. And the root of bitterness is in that congregation. And you can feel the darkness and the anger. So rather than being ashamed of Jesus, we should boast about him. And cultivate that in your private time, in your quiet time, just you and God. Now, as you do that, you'll find out. And I, Amelia caught me one time. I didn't know she was up there in the balcony. She was up there one time up in the balcony, and I was in here doing something. I started getting going crazy and got to preach on and got just praising God, just worshiping God. Get carried away time from time to time. The Holy Spirit, you'll feel the presence of God. And you don't have to be sane. You can be a little bit crazy. You can cut the mold and let yourself love the Lord and love Jesus. Okay? So don't be ashamed of him. Bear his reproach. And the second sacrifice, offer the sacrifice of praise. The third one we want to look at is a sacrifice of a caring lifestyle. Let's look at those. He says here in verse 16, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Now, this is a sacrifice where we get involved with other people, where we actually notice them. We do good, and we share what we have. This costs something. For some reason, as I'm sacrificing, I'm giving to somebody who's poor, who has need of it, it's the same as me giving it to God. He receives a sacrifice. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? Jesus shared the story. There's this man on the road who was left for dead. He was robbed. He was all his money was taken. And there were three people to walk down the road. There was three Jews. The first one was an Aaronite priest. The second was a Levitical priest. And the third one was just a Jew. And you thought when they would see this fellow Jew in trouble, you would think that they would come to his aid, but they don't. They go on the other side of the road and just pass by. But you have the Samaritan, this half-breed. It's not even a full Jew. He goes by and he sees this man on the road, and it says he looked at him, and he looked at him with compassion. And it says, as he saw the man, it says he put him on his own horse, took him to the next inn, and he not only took him to the next inn, but he also paid the innkeeper, says, here, you take care of him, and if he costs more than you need, I will take care of that. And that idea of sharing, we're doing good, but also sharing. The word share there is the word koinonia. We get the word fellowship or partnership. The idea is not just I'm just throwing money at somebody. It's the idea I am sharing in their plight. I am taking their burden upon myself, and I'm helping them. And it says when we do this, God is pleased with those sacrifices. It's not something we enjoy. It's not something we would first want to do because, hey, I want to take care of myself. But when we have a caring lifestyle where we get involved, we share our time, we share our resources, we spend our energy, our ambitions, our attention, and our efforts. That's a sacrifice that God is pleased with. Doing good to people, doing good for people, letting people, sharing their burdens, being in their life. So what sacrifices are we giving to God that he's pleased with in our worship? Now, we often think about worship as the worship service. But we can go beyond the worship service. We need to go beyond the worship service and to be actually doing a lifestyle of worship to God where we're worshiping him and sacrifice and pleasing him. So what is left after Jesus has given the ultimate sacrifice? Well, not being ashamed of Jesus, boasting about Jesus, and doing good works for people. Those are the sacrifices. That's the worship that God is pleased with. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. I pray that you were encouraged in your faith. This is Pastor Will. Till next time, may God bless you and keep you.